Cloud is powering tomorrow's transformative missions. Federal agencies are partnering with SAIC to help them meet these critical moments, where bold moves require confident blueprints, where you can accelerate transformation through consistency, where you can innovate forward and never look back. SAIC quickly and securely migrates large-scale workloads to the cloud with the confidence you need to assure your mission. Learn more at saic.com/cloud.
Baby, it's that time of year again. Time to roll out and then get it in. 'Cause the sun is outside beaming, it's beaming. And every day feels like the weekend, the weekend.
You know who it is, this is the Mic Drop Podcast, and I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me as always is my brother, I Am Vision. What's up, brother?
What's up with you, man? How's everything going?
Everything good, man. Everything good, man. How's everybody out there in the podcast world?
Hopefully they're doing good.
We're in that holiday season, right?
Holiday season is upon us.
Yep. It's that time. We're getting ready for New Year's, man. What you got planned for New Year's?
Work. Work, work, work. Work. That's pretty much all I do. So, more of it to reach my goal, work.
I feel you, man, I feel you. That sounds like a lot of fun. Not really.
No, not really.
All right, man. What's your topic for the day, man?
Relationships.
All right, let's get into that, man.
I really don't, lately, just a lot of things be on my mind pertaining past relationships, current relationships, committed relationships, family relationships, things of that sort. So that was just a topic I wanted to have us, I guess, sit and talk about. So, where would you go with it?
I don't know. Let's hash it out. Let's see what you want to talk about in terms of relationship. Are we talking about family? Because I think we talked a little bit about family last week. Or are we talking about relationships with other people, man? In terms
just
of
relationships in general. However you want to take it. Family can still be included because we didn't go in depth with it. But whatever relationships mean the most important to you,
relationships are a funny thing because people don't really necessarily talk about it, but relationships change all the time. It's just the fact of life, in terms of the same person you loved yesterday, you may not love today. Yeah, there's a situation of unconditional love and things like that, but people change. As we get older, things change. As a kid, we like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers and playing with toys and stuff like that. But as you grow older, you may not be into those same things. Your knowledge expands. And why, as people, we don't think that might change as we get older in terms of relationships. As a man, I think, when we are younger, we kind of have a different viewpoint on what we want in a relationship in terms of women and things like that. We may be more, I don't want to say, how would you word that properly? Maybe as we're younger, we may look upon the physical appearance of a woman as opposed to that mental. Not saying that when we get older, we're we don't care how they look. But it's not as much as a factor.
Yeah, see, because there's phases to attraction, depending on the age. And for both sexes, when you tend to be younger, you're looking for more superficial qualities than you would be looking for qualities of balance or security and things of that sort. You don't start thinking about that till late teens, going into the not even late teens, more like your adolescent years. That's when you start. Once you get a taste of what life is about, then your relationship tastes eventually start changing too. I also think it depends on your status level, revenue stream, position in life. Because a lot of people act according to whatever mannerisms or whatever they're accustomed to in those positions of their lives. So relationships do change. But when you're in committed relationships like marriages, things of that sort, things are going to change, things are going to happen. You're supposed to be able to weather the storm. So when you're married, it's too late to be talking about you're growing apart. It's now it's more of a your lifetime partners. You have to figure this thing out. And a lot of reasons why a lot of marriages don't work because the people are not willing to sit and figure the things out. So they'd rather just do what they feel is the easy thing and go their separate ways. Now, as far as relationships go with people in your circle, I don't like the word friends, but people in your circle you may see like family or stuff like that. Those are relationships that, yeah, you can outgrow a person because some people stop talking for whatever reason. And, you know, friendships, I can see like that. But when it comes to a relationship, and, you know, if you're in your beginning phase of the relationship before you get to the commitment, then, you know, okay, yeah, you know, people can grow apart. If there's no commitment, then boom, yeah, you're going to grow apart. When there's commitment, you have to learn to grow together. You have to, everything becomes a compromise or whatnot. At least that's my view.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. You know, I think the problem is that a lot of people get married too soon. A lot of people just,
a lot of people just
run into marriage, you know, because they love a person. And sometimes
that's just not enough.
It's not enough. You got to learn to, you have to not only love that person, but you have to be willing to grow and adapt with that person.
And I've been married twice. So me thinking about it, marriage is a lot like a business. A person can't have a successful business as an entrepreneur if the marriage isn't successful. Because you have to learn the budget. You have to follow a schedule, especially when kids are involved. You know this. You have to have a routine. Even though you may not want to live by a routine when you have a family, you have to have a routine in order for things to work properly and function properly. Everybody has to have their allotted time. Because for some reason, the man in the house is always the one being pulled on to have an attention span for everything that's under that roof. At least that was, you know, my experience, what I went through having a house full of women. So my time was never really my time, even though I found time to make my time. But there was always three little girls, always daddy, daddy, you know, the wife. So it was like, wow. Like, how the hell do I, like, how do I balance this? It's like you have to play the role of, like, a little god in the household.
I think what people don't realize, what helps relationships a lot, that people kind of sleep on is the fact that alone time is very important, man. Having time to yourself is very important. Having time apart from that person is very essential to that. Because if you're around a person 24/7, 365, you can easily get sick of that person. In terms of, you can learn, one of the things that I notice is when you're around that person all the time, you start picking up on their bad habits and things that you don't like about them.
Thank you.
And it's more exemplified when you're around that person every day. So sometimes that separation can do you good. And you know, one of the things I realized being in relationships, even with my wife sometimes, the fact that they don't, sometimes women don't understand that you need to have that space just to yourself.
Yeah.
It's nothing against that person. It's not like you're necessarily going to do anything wrong, but that quiet time to yourself is essential for you to get
gets me too, man. Why is it always a negative thing when a man wants to have any kind of time to himself? Oh, so you fixing to do this, this. And like, yo, when you got your time, I never make no gestures of any sort, say anything of that sort. But then you always got this shit in your head.
Yeah.
And some women don't realize like that pushes the person away more than anything else you could ever do. Your insecurities, your accusations, even though you want to say you're not making accusations, but the insecurities that you dwell upon, that you allow to come out your mouth, will push the man away, and vice versa, because there's men that's just like that. So it goes both ways. It's not just coming at the women, because there's men that do this crap too. I used to know some of them dudes. So yeah. Coming out of your mouth with your insecurities all the time will cause insecurity in the mate, and will cause the mate to either get tired or play into the insecurity. See, I've never been the type to play into anything, but I cut off quick. Once I get tired, I'll cut off quick. And it'll seem remorseful, but there'll be a lot of remorse behind it. But before I allow something to stress me to the point that I end up back in the hospital, I will cut that shit off.
It's understandable. 'Cause my
second marriage taught me a lot. And before I allow any actions of any person, man or woman, to overwhelm me with stress, I would end that relationship.
That makes sense to me, man.
Because, man, going to the hospital for a panic attack, thinking you having a heart attack on countless occasions, and when you lose that breathing control where you start hyperventilating, yo, like, that's nothing to go through that's nice. Like, that's nothing to go through that's nice, man. So, if it stresses you, you must let it go.
Yeah, man, that is very true, man. I think, you know, when it comes to relationships, at least on that type of level, man, you gotta know your limits, you gotta know your bounds, your boundaries, shall I say. And you gotta understand each other. If you don't understand that person's core or who they are, then you maybe shouldn't be with that person. Because everybody has things and values that they will not bend or break, no matter what. And yeah. You can't really go in there and try to change that from that person. And I know a lot of women and a lot of men try to do that. A lot of men get in the habit of trying to be like, okay, this girl's out here stripping and doing this. Maybe I can change her. Maybe that's something she likes to do. If something's part of a person's core, you necessarily can't change that.
Part of their personality.
Yeah. On the flip side, you might have a guy who's an asshole or a guy who hits women. And women sitting there in a relationship with this person think they can change him. Sometimes you can't change what's part of a person's core. If a person's core is an asshole, that person's an asshole. He's not going to change unless you may have a life-altering situation.
That's the only thing that can change a person, life-altering situations or love, the love that is truly for them.
Yeah.
That will change a person, but saying stuff and disagreeing and arguing and miscommunication, none of that is effective to changing anything.
Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, a person's core is a person's core. They're not changing it. They're not changing it. They're not bending it for nobody.
And I said in a song, I got to paraphrase it because I remember the line exactly, but I said, if I'm talking and you talking, then tell me who's listening. Basically, that's
facts.
And that was just revisiting. That was revisiting disagreements or arguments with the two, you know, exes. So that was just revisiting that. And then when I think about the scenarios of today, I'm like, damn, even after them, I still went through that with others. And then I sit and I think and I reflect a lot. And I'm like, well, why? Why the hell? Why did any of them arguments ever happen? What was I not listening to? What were they not listening to? I heard everything, but they found a way to twist it and make it seem like I didn't get anything. And then they twisted what I said. And then if I'm sitting here reflecting like this, they probably reflecting on some twisted shit just like that, thinking that I did this and that. And I'm like, you know what? Miscommunication is a fatal thing.
It is.
Especially in African American community. It's a very fatal thing. It can cause, miscommunication can cause a war where there should be peace.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why wars happen, because of outright direct manipulation, but most importantly, miscommunication.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, communication is key in relationships, man. Whether it's your girlfriend, your mother, your father, you need to talk to them on a consistent basis about things, because if you don't tell them how you feel about something, how are they going to know?
Yeah, true.
A good example of that, for example, is me and my wife. Me and my wife are from different backgrounds, different nationalities. But one of the things we always communicate about is certain, when we first got together, one of the things we communicated about with our child being born is the fact that she doesn't celebrate Halloween. She doesn't. I grew up in a family that celebrates Halloween, but she doesn't like Halloween at all, and she doesn't want our kids around and things like that. So, in respect for her, we don't celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, I can respect that because I don't celebrate Halloween either.
Yeah, but on the flip side, she knows that I make a big deal out of Christmas. Christmas is my holiday. I won't bend or break on that. We always go all out in terms of Christmas. So when it comes to Christmas, she knows she needs to fall back and let me celebrate Christmas the way I celebrate Christmas. So every Christmas is a big event. It's not necessarily a big tree, but it's like a whole bunch of gifts under the tree. We're doing all this stuff. We're going to see her family. We're going to see my family. It's a big event, and she knows, okay, you know what? This is what we got to do. And it became to the point where, you know, her family necessarily didn't celebrate Christmas like that. They were more reserved. They were more quiet. It was more of a smaller thing. But now, since I've been in the family, they kind of fell on the thing where I do. And now they have big Christmas every year where they have, like, they do games and stuff like that. And it's more of a big event. And it's mostly because, you know, that's how I celebrated Christmas. So it's give or take, man. You got to listen to each other. You got to understand each other's feelings and emotions about things. And, you know, the Halloween thing doesn't bother me because I give a fuck less about Halloween. Halloween's all right, a holiday, but, you know, I can just go buy candy myself. Here you go, kids. Here goes some candy. And call that shit a day. So I never was really into Halloween like that. I like Halloween. I think it's a cool holiday. But it's a lot of things behind Halloween that I just don't want to ride with. Plus, it's not like it was when we was kids, man. But when we were kids, you can go door-to-door with no problems, get candy, have fun. Nowadays, I don't want my kids knocking on these people's door, man.
It's yeah, man.
Whole different atmosphere, man.
And it's going to be when you're younger.
Yeah. But, you know, relationships about give and take, you know. And me and my wife have done a good job of that. You know, with our different backgrounds, our different nationalities. My wife is Nicaraguan. I'm African-American. I have some Bahamian in my family and things like that, you know. So I have to adapt to her cultures as well as she has to adapt to my cultures. And yes, it's a give and take, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to do it. That's what makes a marriage work.
That's what the commitment is about.
Yes.
And to commit is to endure.
I'll admit, when I got married, I don't think I was fully ready for marriage. Cause I was like 26 or something like that. But once I got married, I realized, you know, this is real. You got to commit. You got to adapt. You got to bend on some things to make it work. And that's what I've always been about, you know. Like, if I don't like something, I tell her straight up, I don't like this. This ain't going to work. And we come up to a compromise upon that. It's not necessarily always something that we both agree upon, but we learn from it. It's a give and take, man.
Yeah. That is like, you got to be the lord of the dance with marriage.
Yeah.
And you got to realize you both change roles on who the lord of the dance is. So, you know, that's very important. Like, you know, this year would have been 11 years for my previous marriage.
So what do you think you learned from that experience?
I learned a lot, really. The most important thing is that as a man, it's not anything wrong with you being able to talk about your emotions or being emotional, not to a point where you crying and all that, but being emotional, because you're going to have to rely on a lot of that emotional or feminine side in order to relate to your woman. You can't relate as a man. You have to rely on that, the empathetic side of you, to understand where they're coming from and, you know, see things in their point of view. But at the same time, they have to do the same for you. It can't go one way. It has to go both ways. And a lot of arguments can be deterred by a simple, easygoing conversation and nobody being on the offense. Because as a man, what I learned in most relationships is, especially if you were an African-American woman, they are, not all of them, okay, so let's get that out there, not all of them, but majority of African-American women are on the offensive because they have some kind of, something could have occurred that made them offensive. There's a catalyst in each individual life, African-American or whatever culture, where a person can become offensive or take offensive of everything depending on experiences of their life, you know, that occur over in their life. And I dated a lot of African American women. I married one, and my first wife was Caucasian. And I seen a lot of that with her as well. So what I'm saying is, a person's past experience can be a catalyst to why issues may stir up in your relationship. You have to know how to look at things objectively. And that's where what we talked about earlier, where for men especially, or even women, having your space or your time to yourself helps you to sit, recollect on things, and find a solution for yourself that may work for you, that you can take to your mate, that may work for you together. If you don't have that time to yourself, you don't have that time to think. You don't have that time to analyze. It's like a constant war, if that makes sense, when the person's always around. Because while you trying to sit and analyze what this person's saying, they sitting and picking something else. And you're not even picking anything on them. So you got to sit and know how to be observant of these things. You got to know how to communicate and talk. You got to give each other respective time to be to yourself. And you can't always sit and look at things in a negative light, like, oh, you want time to yourself, so you probably about to do this, 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 and this. Oh, I'm feeling this way, so you should do. Like, look, don't tell me what I should do. That's why we should talk about it. Worst thing you can do is choose the wrong words to come out your mouth, like, you should do this, and you didn't. Oh, yo, look. Your expectancy is going to kill this relationship.
Yeah. Because, you know, people always tell you what you should do without asking you what you should do. You know what I'm saying about that?
Yeah.
People always want to give their opinions and force their ideology upon you without asking you what are your actual beliefs.
Yeah. I've had those issues in relationships. And what the minute things like that happen, these are all red flags to me. But I would still continue to deal with a person because just because it's a red flag doesn't mean it's a red flag, like a warning. It could be like, okay, this is a flaw. Can you handle this?
Yeah.
Makes sense. This is a flaw. Can you handle this? Now, some of the red flags don't be like, this is a flaw. Some of the red flags be like, whoa, pump the brakes. Check this shit. Look at this, man. For real. Like, this is how my brain works. So, you know, I sit and I analyze that, and I'm real quick to just snip. Like, I will stop talking to a person with the ease. And I guess that's because of that manic depressant side. You know, when I hit that depression level, it's easy for me to just block and act like I don't see anybody, because for real, I don't.
Makes sense. All right, let's switch gears a little bit, but not going too far from the relationship subject. Let's talk about relationships as both of us being fathers. Let's talk about relationships with our kids. How does that manifest in things?
That manifests in everything, because that I feel being a single father, like that's why I'm so, I try to be objective, but they'll say I'm not, but I try to be as objective as I can when I'm talking to somebody, because it's not about all what I think or what I feel. It also becomes more of what we think and what we feel, because I come with a package. You know, so my daughter's view of anything I deal with actually matters to me. Like when I worked at the arena, it bothered her, because there would be nights she wouldn't see me, because it's like we damn near lived at that place. So, you know, that bothered her. And I was looking to leave the job, but I got comfortable because it was enabling me to take care of things, you know, things of that sort, and matters was being taken care of. And boom, blew my Achilles on the court, got hurt. So now I can't rely on that job. So now I left. She was upset I was hurt, but she was happy because I was home. And for a year and longer than a year, I'm home. So, you know, once I was able to walk, I walked her to school, I walked her back, I rode the bike, we rode back. Like, she had that time with me because I was home. Now I started working again, and I was working at the stadium, at the ballpark, and it was almost kind of like the arena, but not as bad. But I saw the change because I saw how it affected her in school through her grades. So then I said, okay, got a tip on another job, started a warehouse job. Now that gave me a better schedule where I work when she's in school, I come out when she's already out. So it's making a difference how the interaction is with us, with my schedule. But what also matters is, like, whoever I'm talking to, I have to find a way to balance all of that. So, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. It was different when it was with her mom, because that was our family. So now it's like, it's not a blip thing, and it's different. It's weird. Sometimes I just be wanting not to deal with it and just be screwed and just be alone, because it just feels so much easier. But, you know, it all balances itself out. I just got to see how it all work out. But as far as that relationship goes, like, that's the reason I do what I do. That's the reason I am how I am. And if it affects me, I have to find a way to protect her from what's affected me. So then I end up protecting myself in order to protect her, if that makes sense. But
makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right, like, let's do some compare and contrasting. I am a father, and I have a wife at home. You are a single father. Currently, what are the hardships and difficulties you may have being a single father every day? And not having that secondary person to lean on in terms of a wife.
To be honest, the same as a single mom would say, to be honest. The only thing is, I'm blessed that I have my family around. So, you know, it takes a village to raise one. So I have help in that aspect with that. But still the same as a single mother would say. And it's not cliche things that they say. Going through it, it's like, yo, like, that shit's real. And people think, oh, well, it should be different because you're a guy. You're like, okay, I'm a guy. How does that make it any different?
It doesn't.
I'm a guy that can't, with a degree, who can't get the jobs for some reason. I should be working, you know? So I got to make do and be happy with what I can get. And tell me, like, how is that any different? I was like, it's just like that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, with Will Smith. Like, I feel that now.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand that now. I understood it then, but I could really understand it now.
So in terms of that, man, you have to kind of play two roles in a sense where, you know, fathers are usually the strong ones, mothers are usually the nurturing ones. You have to kind of play both roles.
Yeah, but it's easy because it's a daughter. You know, I think it would be different if it was a son, because you'd be trying to teach him how to be strong, but with her, I got to teach her how to be strong, but then teach her things do affect you. You got to know how to move around these things that affect you and still be strong. So that gives me a balance. And if I had a boy and a girl, then I would be equally, even more balanced. But it has to be a balance. When you got a daughter watching, it has to be a balance of strength and look, this will happen. You will cry. You will go through this. But then you shake that off and you come back to that strength and you keep going. So that will make her think more like a queen and less like a woman. If that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. You know.
Know where your power lies and know that even in your weak times, go through your woes in any moment, but come back to that power that you relied on and understand it will get you through.
Makes sense. You know, in my relationship, it's a little different because, you know, you have a father, they have a father and they have a mother. So you kind of watch how and who they lean to for certain things.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, because, you know, my wife is very assertive and very aggressive about certain things. Like, you know, when it comes to her kids, she'll cuss person out. You know, she'll stand by her kids. You know, I'm more quiet, reserved, and I'm more of a type of, you know, hands-on in terms of things, you know. I don't necessarily have to curse somebody out, but I can still get the job done in other ways, you know. Like, if something goes on in the school, I know how to go there and move and get things done.
Yeah.
Without having to be aggressive about it, without having to get out of line with people. My wife, something happened in school with her child, it scorched earth, motherfuckers. She going off. She going ham for her child. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that.
But you know, you kind of learn as you go how to handle things.
I do miss the marriage life, man. People think it's hard, but it's really so easy, man.
Yeah, it's not hard.
It's really easy. It's just a lot of compromising. But that family life is good, man.
Yeah, it's good, man, you know. It's about being part of a team, and you got to know some things you take the lead on, some things she take the lead on. You know, and that's important.
So with your wife being the assertive one most of the time, what would that make you? Are you passive aggressive?
Yeah, you can say that. The thing about me is, I don't like to get mad a lot, because when I get mad, I turn to the Incredible Hulk. I blow up more than I should. I'm ready to kill everything in sight, so I kind of have to be like a little bit more even keeled. It takes a lot more for me to get mad because I don't want to get to that point. Because if I get to that point, it's no coming back. You know, so I only get involved in things that are real serious in terms of like, it turns me getting mad, like, because, you know, you can go too far with things easily. Like, somebody touch my kids, I'm going to fucking kill them. It's no questions about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, my wife is kind of, she's aggressive, but she can calm herself down a lot easier than I can in terms of stuff. Like, for example, she can go to the school, cut out the whole school district and shit. They've been cool the next day or a couple hours later. Me, if I get to that point that's mad, them kids are getting the fuck up out of that school and I might fuck up somebody at the school.
Mm.
So, you know, you got to learn that balance, you know. And in terms of my kids, you know, I'm a little bit more hard on my son because I want my son to be tougher. And my daughter is already more aggressive than he is in terms of certain things. My son is passive. He's a loving person. He loves people to death. He cares about everybody. He's the type of person who will open doors for people. He'll tell everybody he sees, hi, hello, how you doing? Ask people if they're okay.
Yeah, that's how my daughter is.
my daughter, on the other hand, she's very reserved. She's not really outgoing in terms of like going to people and talking to them. She's more close to like, leave me alone, I don't feel like being bothered. And she'll tell a person like, fuck off. Not in those words. Hopefully not in those words. Not, I don't know if she does it when I'm not around, but not in those words, but she knows. She'll tell a person, you know, I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
My son's not like that. My son's like, hey, how you doing? What can we do? How can we help you, you know? And I don't want to change that dynamic on both of those because they both have positives and negatives to that. But as a parent, I have to talk to them both in different ways, you know?
Yeah, I get you. Make sure they understand.
You know, in terms of my son, I have to be a little bit more aggressive because I have to show him, like, yo, you can't be nice to everybody. People out there trying to hurt you sometimes, you know? So I got to take that type of stance with him. But on the other hand, with my daughter, I'm more or less like, you know, you don't have to be so closed off to everybody. Don't be afraid to ask people for help. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. Don't be afraid to be friendly. You know, so parenting is it's a tightrope. You got to be careful what you do and what you say in terms of certain things. But overall, it's more than worth it, Joe. My kids are not a problem. That's not one of those situations where I'm like, you know, some people regret having kids. I wish I'd had kids younger or older or something like that. You know, that's never been my problem, you know, because it's not hard to raise a kid. All it takes is a little bit of selflessness. People who sit there don't
want to... It takes a lot of selflessness.
Yeah. But, you know, people don't... It does and it doesn't in a sense, you know, because... Let's just get down to the basis of it. Instead of cooking one meal, you got to cook two meals. Instead of buying something for yourself, you take time out to buy something for your child. You really want to call it an investment. You invested in this child's future.
Yeah.
And if you invest correctly in that child's future, 20, 30 years from now, that investment is going to pay off. Because you're going to have a successful human being on your side.
True.
You know?
I see the way you're looking at it. It's just for me, there was no little. Like, I would give a lot. So I would go without to make sure that all of mine I had.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong with that in the slightest bit.
I had three girls, so there is no little self. There's no little. It's a lot.
You know, fortunately for me, my daughter doesn't ask for much of anything. And everything my daughter does ask for is not expensive. Like even Christmas. What she want for Christmas? I want some Shopkins. Shopkins are like $5. You know, those type of things she want. My son, on the other hand, you know, he's more like, I want a PS4, I want all these games, stuff like that, which is fine. But, you know, they kind of balance each other out that way in terms of, like, my daughter's not expensive at all. She's not into clothes and nothing like that. She likes to dress good, but she personally will buy stuff off the $3, $4 rack and love it. Like, it's Coach and stuff like that. So, you know, right, that's at least right now. My daughter's 9, so who knows what's going to happen when she gets 13, 14. My son's 11, so he's starting to get to that range where he can start liking stuff like Jordans and stuff like that, but he's still not there yet. He's more of a video game, comic book type guy. So so far it hasn't been hard for me in terms of monetary. We deal with more different things, you know. Just watching the kids grow up, watching the things they deal with. It's very interesting.
Yeah. How they experience life.
Yeah.
The day you start seeing it through their eyes, and it makes you think back when you saw it through your eyes.
It very much does, you know, because perfect example of that is, you know, my kids don't really listen to hip-hop, as opposed to me growing up with hip-hop. They listen to some songs, but most of the songs they hear on the radio, but they love pop.
Wow.
So, you know, it's weird for me being a hip-hop head and being like, my kids like stuff like, you know, Ariana Grande and not Miley Cyrus, but Taylor Swift and stuff like that.
Yeah, my daughter's into that too. But then my daughter also like hip-hop, like real hip-hop.
Yeah. I just introduced my son to Nas a couple days ago. And he likes it. But before that, he really didn't know, the only rapper he was really familiar with was Drake.
You should let him hear some Common.
That's the next step. Let him hear some Common. Some Mos Def. Mos
Def, yeah.
Talib, you know.
Yeah. Daz Effects. EPMD. Redman.
Get them all the classic groups, you know. I'm slowly getting him into those things. One of the things I got him into when he was younger, and he still sticks to this day, is Michael Jackson. He loves Michael Jackson music. All of it. You know, he loves Thriller. He loves Billie Jean.
Yeah. What's up with this December weather? As we're talking, it's like pouring and everything outside my window. I'm like, what is going on?
December's in South Florida are weird.
We're going to have a wet Christmas.
Yeah. We don't get cold for Christmas. Christmas be like 80 degrees, sometimes 90 degrees. Sometimes it's raining.
Hell. Or the Twilight Zone.
I'm quite sure some of these people who listen to the podcast are covered in snow. We don't have none of that shit.
I miss that. Yeah. Man, I even miss the ice in Georgia.
I've never experienced it.
Oh, man. I miss Four Seasons.
We have two.
Yeah.
Summer.
Not so hot and hot as hell.
Yeah. Summer and fall. You know it's fall because
we keep falling in the summer.
But you know, man, getting back on topic, man, you know, building relationships is sometimes tough, man. But in the long run, it's worth it, man, to see the fruits of your labor in terms of your kids, watching them grow up, watching them be smarter. Watch them accomplish things that you may have not accomplished in life. You know, it's a good feeling, man.
Yeah. I believe it is.
Any more to talk about on the subject?
I believe we might have pretty much covered everything.
All right. That's good. Do you have a hip-hop album to recommend for this week? Or shall I recommend one? For the good
folks. I believe it is on you.
All right. I have one that you guys should check out. You ever heard of The Lox?
Of course.
Do you know how many albums they dropped in the last 16 years as a group? Take a wild guess.
Okay, I'll take a wild guess. I'll say...
I guarantee you're going to be wrong. Take a guess. Take one more guess.
Less or more?
Less.
Two.
Ding, ding, ding. Two albums of the group they've dropped. The one on Bad Boy and the one with the Rough Riders. And this past week, the Lox dropped their newest album after 16-year hiatus.
That's what I said. They still a group?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. They took 16 years to drop another album together. They always do. They do stuff like the D-Block compilations, you know, and they all have had their solo success, like, you know, Jadakiss, Kiss the Gang Goodbye, Style P, you know, Sheik Looch.
Yeah.
But this is actually, after all these years of listening to the Lox, this is their third album coming out this week. Well, it's already out now. It's called Filthy America. It's beautiful. They are now signed to Roc Nation. And it's dope.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
It's dope, man. It's a great album, man. It's good hearing them all together again, you know. I love it. You know, it's The Lox is probably one of the best, if not the best, three-man group in rap history. So I can't think of too many three-man rap groups that are as good as The Lox. I can't even think of that many three-man rap groups, period. Can you think of a three-man rap group?
Nah. Off the head, no, I can't.
You know, and, you know, the Lox album, this album is excellent. You know, it's got songs on there. addressing what happened with the hiatus, addressing why, you know, I don't remember back in the days, you used to hear a lot of songs with just Jada Kiss and Styles with no Sheik.
Yeah.
They addressed that on the album. So it's...
Filthy America is beautiful.
Yep. I'll say it's a must-have for all Lox fans. You know...
Excuse me.
It's a dope album. It's 12 tracks. They already talk about, they said they recorded so much music, they might have another album coming out in another 6 months. They're going to start releasing more frequently. They said the reason why they wasn't releasing music as a group was because they didn't own it. Point blank, they didn't own their own music. And they told themselves they was not going to do any more Lox albums until they own their own masters.
Well, you gotta respect that. That means They must got their masters now.
Yeah. So that's a good thing, you know. And it's very commendable.
They had their individual successes, so they proved that they're worth what they want.
And it's very interesting because, you know, you got a whole generation that passed that probably don't even know who the fuck the Lox is. They may know who Jada Kiss, Styles, and Sheik is, but they may not know the Lox as a group.
Well, they gonna learn today.
Yeah, definitely. Well, everybody go check that album out, you know. The Lox new album. Let me say the name of it one more time. Filthy America. It's beautiful. Check it out, man. It's on iTunes right now. Give it a listen to. See how you like it, man. Let us know whether you like it or not. All right, let's give out our information. Follow me on Twitter at Delvin_Cox. Follow the Mic Drop Podcast on Twitter at the Mic Drop Pod. Also, check out the Oscar Tunes. Find us on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button, man. Listen to the podcast, man. It's great, man. We love to hear back feedback from you guys, man. We got some great guests on these past weeks, man. We plan on having more guests on, man. If you want to be on the podcast, feel free to reach out to us, man. We'll listen to you, man. All right, give out your stuff, Vision.
And follow me on Twitter at @IamD_ZION and all the other sites, including the Mic Drop, IG, and everything, is all on the GCMG305.wordpress.com page.
Definitely. And as I always say, Mic Drop Podcast, and we are out.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a lounge singer to be their office receptionist.
Hello, this is Mickey Marquis, and you've reached the office of Duggan Associates. Thank you very much. Catch me Tuesday nights at the Hotel Johnson. Hello?
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
Duggan Associates, this is Mickey Market. Hello?
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.